Today is the fourth Sunday of Lent. It's also known as Laetare or Rose Sunday. The epistle for the Mass today is taken from St. Paul's epistle to the Galatians, chapter 4. Brethren, it is written that Abraham had two sons, the one by a bondwoman and the other by a free woman. But he who was of the bondwoman was born according to the flesh, but he of the free woman was by promise, which things are said by an allegory. For these are the two testaments, the one from Mount Sinai engendering unto bondage, which is Agar. For Sinai is a mountain in Arabia, which hath affinity to that Jerusalem, which now is and is in bondage with her children. But that Jerusalem which is above is free, which is our mother. For it is written, Rejoice, thou barren that bearest not, break forth and cry, thou that travailest not. For many are the children of the desolate, more than of her that hath a husband. Now we, brethren, as Isaac was, are the children of promise. But as then he that was born according to the flesh persecuted him that was after the Spirit, so also is it now. But what saith the Scripture? Cast out the bondwoman and her son, for the son of the bondwoman shall not be heir with the son of the free woman. So then, brethren, we are not the children of the bondwoman, but of the free, by the freedom wherewith Christ has made us free. And the Holy Gospel. It's taken from the Gospel of St. John, chapter 6. At that time, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is that of Tiberias, and a great multitude followed him, because they saw the miracles which he did on them that were diseased. Jesus therefore went up into a mountain, and there he sat with his disciples. Now the Pasch, the festival day of the Jews, was near at hand. When Jesus therefore had lifted up his eyes, and had seen that a very great multitude cometh to him, he said to Philip, Whence shall we buy bread, that these may eat? And this he said to try him, for he himself knew what he would do. Philip answered him, 200 pennyworth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one may take a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, the brother of Simon Peter, saith to him, There is a boy here that hath 5 barley loaves and 2 fishes, but what are these among so many? Then Jesus said, Make the men sit down. Now there was much grass in the place. The men therefore sat down in number about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to them that were set down. In like manner also of the fishes, as much as they would. And when they were filled, he said to his disciples, Gather up the fragments that remain, lest they be lost. They gathered up therefore and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves which remained over and above to them that had eaten. Now those men, when they had seen what a miracle Jesus had done, said, This is of a truth the prophet that is to come into the world. Jesus, therefore, when he knew that they would come to take him by force and make him king, fled again into the mountain himself alone. Thus far the words of the Holy Gospel. Whence shall we buy bread that these may eat? These words are taken from the Gospel for the Mass today. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. My dear friends, as you know, our Divine Savior spent 33 years on this earth. For 30 of these years, he lived a quiet, humble life at Nazareth, and the last 3 he spent in public, and thus these last 3 have come to be known as Christ's public life. During this time, our Divine Savior traveled throughout the Holy Land, preaching the gospel and working numerous miracles. And as a result of such wonders, wherever our Lord went, he was followed by thousands. Thousands flocked to see Christ, thousands walked with him, to hear him speak and to see him work another miracle. And our Lord was concerned for the welfare of these people. He saw how they walked with him through the Holy Land, and he was solicitous for their well-being. And so as we read in today's gospel, when our Lord had lifted up his eyes and had seen, as St. John tells us, that a very great multitude was with him, he had compassion on them. "Whence shall we buy bread," he asked, "that these may eat?" Our Lord wanted to feed all those that had followed him. He wanted to make sure that they who had borne the heat of the day and had walked tirelessly with him would have proper nourishment to move on. He thus miraculously multiplied 5 loaves of bread and 2 fishes to provide for the multitude. And this solicitude for his people continues today. His Sacred Heart was full of concern for those who followed him at his time, and it is just as concerned for those who follow him today. It was this concern, my dear friends, the well-being of his followers, that prompted our Lord not only to multiply the loaves and the fishes, but which also prompted him to institute the Holy Eucharist on the first Holy Thursday night, and to provide a means for it to be multiplied until the end of time, the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass and the Holy Priesthood. It's as though on that first Holy Thursday, our Lord lifted up his eyes, and he saw not only the apostles, but he saw future generations of Catholics. It's as though he saw the future very great multitude that would follow him. It's as though he saw our time. He saw you, your family, your friends. He saw all of us. "Whence shall we buy bread that these may eat?" And as St. John wrote in today's gospel, he himself knew what he would do. He would give us more than bread. He would give us himself to nourish and strengthen us. And he would do even more than that. He would actually stay on this earth with us in the Holy Eucharist. For nearly 2,000 years then, the Holy Eucharist, the sacrament containing the body, blood, soul, and divinity of Christ, has been consecrated, and it's been multiplied day in and day out at masses throughout the world. And it has nourished souls and given them the strength to follow Christ. Because it's not easy. It's not easy to our fallen human nature to walk with our Lord. He told us this himself. He said, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me." That's not easy to do. Following Christ, living a Catholic life, is not for the weak of heart. It takes spiritual strength and stamina to keep going. And we get this strength, we get this stamina from the Holy Eucharist. It is absolutely essential in our lives. But the question is this: do we take something that is essential and make it optional? Is the Holy Eucharist absolutely necessary for us? Or do we make it an option, a choice? Is Holy Communion something we earnestly make efforts to receive each week, or more often if we can? Or is it something we neglect, something we choose to do or not to do? You may have heard of the 20th century priest, Father Walter Chizik. Father Chizik was a Jesuit priest who volunteered as a seminarian to go as a missionary to Russia in 1929. And 1929 was a time when no one wanted to be in Russia. The communist Bolshevik revolution had taken place in 1917, and the blood of millions of innocent people had been shed throughout the 1920s by the likes of men such as Lenin and Stalin. You see, communists hate religion, and they have a special hatred for the Catholic Church. So the church had been decimated in Russia since the outbreak of the revolution. Churches were closed. Priests and religious were executed or exiled. And it was forbidden to speak publicly about religion. In 1929, Pope Pius XI was looking for volunteers who would go into Russia and who would work secretly among the people to restore the faith as best they could. Walter Chizik volunteered, and he was accepted. He finished his seminary training, some additional preparation geared towards his special mission, and he was ordained on June 24, 1937, in Rome. His first assignment was in Poland. You see, at the time, it was virtually impossible to get into Russia. And so Father Chizik and others were sent to Poland to await an opportunity to sneak into Soviet Russia. The opportunity presented itself at the outbreak of World War II. After Hitler's invasion of Poland in 1939, the Russians came to occupy parts of the country and were rounding up Polish citizens and sending them off to labor camps in Russia. Other Polish people were deceived by the communist propaganda that Russia was a workers' paradise. And so they signed up to work on government projects in Russia. Father Chizik and his fellow Jesuits saw this as an opportunity of getting into Russia. And so they disguised themselves as common laborers, and they volunteered to go work in Russia. But shortly after arriving there, Father Chizik was arrested by the Soviet KGB, and he was accused of being an American spy. He was placed in solitary confinement for 5 years and was eventually sentenced to 15 years in labor camps in the sub-zero, frigid conditions in Siberia. But he and many other Catholic people imprisoned with him, they persevered against all odds and in the face of insurmountable obstacles. And by the grace of God, Father Chizik returned to the United States in 1963 as part of a prisoner exchange with Russia. What was it, though, that gave Father Chizik and so many other Catholic people the spiritual strength to survive in the Russian labor camps of that time? What was it that gave them the spiritual stamina to go on? Father Chizik himself gives us the answer. The Holy Eucharist, he said. Mass and the Holy Eucharist were the source of my strength, my joy, and my spiritual sustenance. For 5 long years, he wrote, in solitary confinement, I literally hungered to be able to receive the Holy Eucharist once again. Every day I said from memory the prayers of the Mass, hoping, just hoping, that one day I might have the opportunity to offer Mass again, to receive Holy Communion again. When I reached the prison camps of Siberia, Father Chizik later wrote, this hope was realized. There I saw that the priests and prisoners would go to great lengths, run great risks, just to have the consolation and strength of this sacrament. Father Chizik and his fellow priests offered Mass in secret every single day in the labor camp, using the hosts and the wine that were smuggled into the camp by people of nearby towns. Every single day, they would offer the holy sacrifice of the Mass in secret. They would give up what little sleep they were allowed to offer an early Mass. Or if that were not possible, they would sacrifice food and endure hunger to be able to offer Mass later that day. You see, those days were days when the Eucharistic fast started at midnight. Some of you might recall this, but until 1953, you couldn't eat anything from midnight until after you received Holy Communion. And so Father Chizik wouldn't eat. The prisoners were fed these minuscule rations by the Russians, but Father Chizik would fast from the night before. And if he could say Mass the next morning, great. But if he couldn't say Mass until noon or after, he would fast until noon or after. And it wasn't only Father Chizik and the priests that did this. The Catholic people in the camp did it too. Father Chizik said he was surrounded by these Catholics in the labor camp who would regularly do anything they could to receive Holy Communion each day, not just on Sundays, each day. They would do everything they could, even if that meant fasting from the night before all through the next day. They did it, even if it meant getting very little sleep and working throughout the next day. They did it. They'd work all morning on an empty stomach. Father Chizik actually said there were many days when he wasn't able to say Mass until the end of the workday, evening time. Yet these men, he wrote, would actually fast all day long and do exhausting physical labor without a bite to eat since dinner the evening before, just to be able to receive the Holy Eucharist. That was how much the Blessed Sacrament meant to them. For Father Chizik, my dear friends, for those Catholics in that labor camp, the Holy Eucharist was essential. It was not optional. For Father Chizik and the Catholics of that prison camp, the Holy Eucharist provided the spiritual strength and stamina to persevere, to follow Christ in that camp carrying the cross. And the Holy Eucharist will provide the same for us. We need the same spiritual strength and stamina to endure the sadnesses of this life. When people hurt us, when people we love die, when we have to say hard things that will make others perhaps despise us, when we're contradicted by others, when we fail. We need strength to continually fight off temptation. When we're bombarded with temptations against holy purity, when that uncharitable thought strikes, or that uncharitable comment or complaint is at the tip of our tongue, when we're overwhelmed by impatience and frustration. We need stamina just to keep the commandments of God and the church, to get through the burdens of this day-to-day life. We need spiritual strength and stamina to follow Christ, to walk with him carrying the cross. And the Holy Eucharist is the source of this strength and stamina. But is it essential or is it optional for us? Father Chizik and the Catholics in that labor camp did whatever they could to receive Holy Communion. They endured the greatest of inconveniences. They didn't give themselves a pass. What about us? If we see the Holy Eucharist as essential, we too will do all that we can to receive every Sunday and more often if we can. But if it's only optional in our eyes, we will pick and choose when we receive. If the Holy Eucharist is essential, and one in the state of mortal sin needs to get to confession before receiving, he will make it a priority to get to confession as soon as possible. But if the Holy Eucharist is only optional, that person will procrastinate in getting to confession, come up with excuse after excuse why he doesn't have time to go to confession, or that he can just go another time, just keeps putting off confession. If that's the case, the Holy Eucharist is optional to us. If the Holy Eucharist is essential, we will attend an extra Mass during the week if we can, even rearranging our schedule to make it a priority. But if it's only optional, we'll content ourselves with going to Mass only on Sundays when we're obligated to go, even if we're able to go more often. If the Holy Eucharist is essential, we will see the Mass as the most important event in our day or our week. But if it's only optional, we'll view the Mass as just that thing we do on Sundays, and then we go home back to our lives and forget about it until next Sunday. My dear friends, if the Holy Eucharist has been only optional in your lives, if receiving Holy Communion has been merely an option, begin today to make it essential. If there's something in your life that has to be rearranged to make it essential, scheduling, making arrangements not to live in the habitual state of mortal sin, if there's something that has to be rearranged, rearrange it today. For some, this might require a dramatic overhaul, but it's worth it. "Whence shall we buy bread," our Lord said, "that these may eat?" We don't have to look far. We don't even have to buy it. In his concern for all who follow him, our Lord has freely provided the spiritual nourishment we need. He has given us himself in the Holy Eucharist to strengthen us as we take up our crosses and follow him. All we have to do is make it an essential part of our lives. May the Mass and the Holy Eucharist ever be for us, as they were for Father Chizik, our source of strength, joy, and spiritual sustenance. And may we ever stay close to Jesus in the Blessed Sacrament until that glorious day when, please God, we shall see him face to face for all eternity. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.